And quality number 41, that a Muslim loves his wife not to imitate men in any way. This is very essential point, very important point. A woman is a woman, she is not a man. And as I mentioned many times to you, that the real asset a woman has is her femininity, that she is feminine. The moment a woman loses that she is not a feminine anymore, she lost everything. That's why we always emphasize upon this point. A woman is a woman. And you should be proud that you are a woman, that you are feminine. So you should not try to imitate men or to try to have masculine qualities, because simply you can't become a man even if you try to imitate men. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the Creator, has created the man and the woman different from one another. Physiologically, psychologically, rationally, intellectually, they're not the same. Yes, they do complement one another, but they are not replica of one another. There's a difference. A man and a woman, they complement one another. They form integrity. But a man is neither a copy for a woman, nor a woman is a copy of man. They need one another. They cannot live without one another. Neither the man can say, I'm not in need of a woman, nor a woman can say, I'm not in need of a man. So Allah, the Creator, the All-Wise, has given the man certain qualities that he needs to face the hardships, the adversities and the difficulties in life. And also he has given the woman some qualities that he didn't give the man, which she needs. So that's why a man does not like his wife to be having manly qualities in any way. Neither the way she talks, nor the way she walks, or she argues, all these things. He needs a woman. When she talks, she talks womanishly. She's a woman. The way she talks, the way she, when she walks, everything. Is this point clear? That's why the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said in the hadith, لَعَنَ اللَّهُ الْمُتَشَبِّهَاتِ مِنَ النِّسَاءِ بِالرِّجَالِ وَلَعَنَ اللَّهُ الْمُتَشَبِّهِينَ مِنَ الرِّجَالِ بِالنِّسَاءِ. Which means, the Prophet ﷺ said, which means Allah's curse be upon the women who imitate men, and Allah's curse also be upon the men who imitate women. And now we can understand why Allah Azza wa Jal has cursed the men who imitate women. Because Allah created you to be a man. Had He wished, had He wanted you to be a woman, He would have created you as a woman. So why you want to go against the will of the Creator who created you as a man? Subhanallah, we see now many, among the youth especially, they behave like women. The way they talk, they would be chewing gum, walk like girls. They grow their hair like the girls. They tie it with the ribbon like a ponytail. The way they walk, subhanallah. They are not, they, when you see them, you don't feel that those are men who can defend their ummah. Allah created you as a man to be hard. That's why, mothers and sisters, the way when you bring up your children, you need to differentiate in the way of the upbringing. You don't treat the boys and the girls the same. The upbringing of boys has to involve a sort of hardness, a sort of coarseness, a sort of hardship, so that the boy grows up a little bit different. Not that you treat the boy like the girl, very soft, so you bring them softly. That's wrong. You need to treat the boy different from the girls. That's why If a boy is having only sisters and is grown up among his sisters, because of the constant mingling and living with the girls, that affects his upbringing. His upbringing will be girlish. So the mother has to, and the father has to take that into consideration. You know that the Arabs before Islam, they would send their children to the deserts, to grow up in the desert for a number of years. And you know that it's difficult to send your child at young age to the desert. A mother that would send her child, her son, to the desert, to grow up in the desert with the nomadic tribes. Why? To grow in such harsh environment. So in the bringing of the children, sometimes we need, the boys in particular, a sort of harshness. Of course, harshness that is covered with love, because he's a man. So the Arab, they would send their children to the desert, to grow up in the desert, in a tough atmosphere, an environment, harsh environment. So he grows really as a man. So in the upbringing, we have to differentiate the way we bring up the children. Boys are different from the girls. And you can see also, if a girl grows up with her brother, she's the only girl among the boys, she takes from the qualities of the boys, and she behaves like the boys, and she punches, and she hits, and the way she wants to dress like the boys, the way she walks, she wants to walk like the boys, the way she talks. I'm sure mothers, they have experienced this. And even she wants her hair to be cut like the boys, because she's surrounded with the boys. Yes, playing football, cycling, all these things. So if you have only boys and then you have one girl, also you have to treat her as a girl. Otherwise she will have mannish quality. She will be like men. So in the hadith, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when he said Allah's curse, la'an Allah, Allah's curse upon the men who imitate women, they behave like women, or also the women imitate men. Sometimes it's difficult to differentiate, especially if this person is heading away. You can see only the rear part, the backside. You don't know whether this is a woman or a man. You don't know. So you find women, they walk like men, they build up their muscles. If they talk harshly. Their voices are so coarse. Such a woman has lost everything, has real treasure or asset, which is femininity. Feminine, to be a feminine, is not there. If you ask any man, how do you want your wife to be? Any young man who is planning to get married, any young man, how you want your wife to be? You want her to be athletic? That means not that her body is nice, good shape, no. Having muscles, like those wrestlers. He would say, no, man, I'm not looking to have another man at home. Are you looking to have your wife having black belt in karate and kung fu and martial arts, black belt? He would tell you, well, I'm not looking for troubles, and I don't think so. I want a woman who's having black belt in martial art. So what do you want? And you want a woman who is very graceful. When she walks, she walks just like the butterfly. So graceful. That's what a man is looking for. And you want a woman who is having of a loving nature. Loving nature. And I want a woman, when she talks romantic. That's what I want. So that's why this quality is not noble, it is ignoble. Which is quality 41, that a man doesn't like his wife to imitate men in any way. That's why the women in the West, I consider them as being victims. They are being used and victimized. Because circumstances push the Western woman to imitate men, to compete with the man, to compete with the man in, at work, because she has to gain her bread. She has to gain her bread. The woman in the West was forced, I'm saying, compelled to leave her house and to mingle with men and to compete with men to gain her bread. And then the enemies of the woman, now they succeeded to bring her out of her home. So now they don't want her to go back. So they tried now to convince her that she has to prove that she is not less than the man. She can work as the man. She can do whatever the man does. That's how they fooled her. So whatever the man does, she can be a soldier, she can be a driver, truck driver, she can be crane driver, she can be whatever the man does, she can do it. But of course, at the cost of her happiness, losing her femininity, losing her shyness, losing her chastity, losing her modesty, losing all the good qualities. That's how a woman is fooled and used in the West. And there are other fools who are taking the Western woman as an example. When a Western woman is having miserable life. Quality number 42. A husband, or any man, but the husband in particular, loves his wife to remind him about the dua before making love. Because sometimes, you know, this desire, which is the sexual desire, first of all, it cannot be predicted, especially to the man. A man cannot predict when he wants to make love. Maybe just they are talking to one another, simply chatting, sipping their tea in the kitchen. A trigger, now something just triggers his mind, so he wants her to go to bed. It was not there in his mind. Or maybe he touched her hand, his wife, and now he wants to go to take her to bed. Or maybe she cracked a joke, or she smiled, or she blinked, or anything. So sex cannot be predicted. So now he's so excited, and he wants to start the biological process as quick as possible. And sometimes maybe both of them are longing for one another, especially if the man was in leave or was away for a while, and now he's coming back, so both of them are longing for one another. So here, sometimes maybe they forget, or the husband might forget, who's in a hurry, to say the dua. And you know the dua that you say before you start making love? Allahumma jannibna shaytan wa jannibna shaytana ma razaqtana. O Allah, save us from the shaitan and save whatever you give us, whatever you bless us with. That means, O Allah, save us from the shaitan and save our progeny, save our offspring from the shaitan. Save the child. If you bless us tonight with a child, that if you make tonight my partner, my wife, to get pregnant, please, O Allah, save that child from the shaitan. And you know, brothers and sisters, the shaitan has the ability to make love and to participate. So the jinn, they have that ability. You want the dalil, the evidence for that, that they have the ability? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when He described the qualities of the hur, the huriyat in the Jannah, the huris, He said, حُورٌ مَقْصُورَاتٌ فِي الْخِيَامِ لَمْ يَطْمِثْهُنَّ إِنْسٌ قَبْلَهُمْ وَلَا جَانٌ. حُورٌ مَقْصُورَاتٌ فِي الْخِيَامِ. حُورٌ مَقْصُورَاتٌ فِي الْخِيَامِ. They are huris confined in the Jannah, in the tents in the Jannah. They don't leave the tents. And they were neither touched by men nor by jinn. So the jinn, they can't touch. And actually, the meaning of yatmithunna, Yatmithunna means to cause the tamth to come out. And what is the tamth? It is to rupture the hymen. When a man sleeps with his wife on the first night when she was virgin, and he ruptures the hymen, the blood that comes out, the blood of the hymen. So the jinn, they have the ability to rupture hymens. So if a man sleeps with his wife, without saying the dua, the shaitan participates. So you should say the dua. And if the husband was in a rush, was in a hurry to start the biological process, then the wife should remind him, say, hey, stop, little bit. Let us say the dua at least. Or I always say to the brothers and sisters, yes, in case you might forget both of them because you are longing for one another, you can put the sticker of the dua on top of the bed, on the top of the board of the bed at the head side. So you are facing the dua, so you can read it, or can make it big, or you can write it on a piece of paper and put it on the wall, so you can see it, big font, so that you say the dua. That's why Ibn Umar, radiallahu ta'ala anhuma, he used to say, if sometimes he forgot to say the dua, he would say it after finishing. Just like one forgot saying Bismillah after eating, so Ibn Umar used to say this dua after finishing, in case he forgot. So that is quality 42. A husband loves his wife to remind him about the dua before making love. They can say the dua even before the intimacy, when they are just for playing, hugging, kissing, etc. Quality number 43. A husband loves his wife not to disclose the secrets pertaining or regarding the sexual intercourse and narrate them to her friends. This is, I am saying it to the women in particular, and unfortunately even some men, they do say that. So a husband doesn't like his wife to disclose the secrets that are related to the sexual intercourse and what they do in their bedrooms to her friends. You know, women, they like gossiping and chatting. And most of their chats, the way they chat below the belt, most of the time, their chats are below the belt. They talk about sex most of the time. Wow, your husband really is a man. And I think they get pleasure out of that, unfortunately. Otherwise, they wouldn't have become addict to such discussions. So these things, they always keep discussing. How did we know? Women, the women themselves, they talk. And we receive emails. And also, it is quite common among old men, from out of my experience, old men, when it is, they are after their 50s, and when you see them sitting and you find them discussing and talking always about their youth and their adventures and what they used to do and all these things. So, we are discussing here family issues. It's not for fun or entertainment. This is a session for family issues for the sake of improvement. It's quite common that men and women, they talk about this issue. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, one day, he addressed this issue openly. He addressed this issue openly in the masjid. And he said, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, رُبَّمَا أَحَدُكُمْ يَأْتِي أَهْلَهُ ثُمَّ يُحَدِّثُ بِمَا حَدَثَ بَيْنَهُمَا. And all the Sahaba, which means the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, some of you might mention or disclose what goes between him and his wife, that they talk about what they do to their wives. So all the companions, men and women, they kept quiet. فَسَكَتَ الْقَوْمُ. All of them kept quiet. Then a young lady stood up and she said, يَا رَسُولَ اللَّهِ وَاللَّهِ إِنَّهُمْ لَيَقُولُونَ وَاللَّهِ إِنَّهُنَّ لَيَقُولَنَّ. A young lady, she stood up and she said, by Allah, O Prophet of Allah, both of them, men and women, both of them. So how this young woman, how did she know that also the men, they talk about it? Either she heard, she passed by them and she heard men talking about it, or through the women. When they sit together, that's how they talk. So, you know, I've been told, or my husband told me, that also they were saying the same thing. So this is known, that women, they talk about these things, and also men, they talk about it. And I said all to men, out of my experience, and even when we were small, young, we don't know. So if they are discussing these things, they will say, hey boy, leave us alone. This is man talk, leave us. So then when you grow up, you know what they were talking about. So here, it's a sin. In Islam, it is a sin that a woman tells her friends that what she does with her husband, how they make love. And maybe some of them, they talk about it, especially maybe old women, they think this is experience. So it has to be imparted. So she is sharing something, sharing experience with the woman. So to benefit them, because maybe they are young women and she is old. So this she talks to the young woman that they should know how to please or how to make their husband feel happy in bed. Some women, that's how they think. In some communities, when a girl is going to get married, and just few days, in some communities I'm saying, just few days before the marriage, the consummation, an old woman would come and start to talk, not the mother, an old woman will come and start talking to the girl, telling her how to behave in bed and how to make her husband feel good. Which means that they think this is experience, has to be shared. This is common in some communities. This is experience has to be shared, and those young girls, they don't know these things, so let us teach them. Not only that, in some communities, they train the girls from when they are very young, very small, they train them how to dance. You know, the oriental dance or belly dance, dancing. They train the girls how to dance. And the girls, they don't know. They just train them how to dance. And now she knows how to move her waist. All these things. Just few days before the marriage, they tell her, you know, when you used to dance and you move your waist and you move your body, now use that in bed. Use that in bed to make your husband feel good. So this quality, 43, that a husband doesn't like his wife to disclose their secrets, what they used to do in bed, what they do during when they are making love, to her friends. So please, sisters, if one is having this sickness, she should stop that. I'm saying if, and I assume, alhamdulillah, none of you does that. This is a sickness, to describe what you do in bed with your husband. Also, men, it's a sin to mention what you do to your wife. Let's say you are talking to a friend of yours, and this friend, he knows your wife. And now you are telling him, this is what I do. As men, many times, they are proud, and sometimes maybe they are exaggerating or lying. They would mention the number of times they make love. And now you are narrating this to your friend, and your friend knows your wife. Maybe you are neighbors. So now you are actually making your friend to visualize and to imagine your wife in bed. And what he can visualize the scene in his mind and what you are doing to your wife. That's why the Prophet ﷺ, he said, when he addressed the companions and all of them, they kept quiet. And then the young lady stood up and said, yes, that both of them they talk. Then you know what the Prophet ﷺ said. He said, إِنَّمَا مَثَلُ ذَلِكَ كَمَثَلِ شَيْطَانَ كَمَثَلِ شَيْطَانَ كَمَثَلِ شَيْطَانَ. He said, the similitude of that, just like a shaytan. كَمَثَلِ شَيْطَانَ شَيْطَانٌ وَقَعَ عَلَى شَيْطَانَ وَالنَّاسُ يَنْظُرُونَ. He said, if you describe what you do to your wife, that is just like a male devil, male shaytan, making love to another female devil, and the people are watching. on the street. See, فمثل شيطان وقع على شيطان على الطريق والناس ينظرون. Which means here the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم is saying that if a man in public, yes, if a man is describing what he is doing to his wife, just like a shaitan making love to another shaitana, and the people are watching. So now actually you are telling narrating to your listener what you are doing to your wife, so he can visualize. And he can start imagining it. And he will start maybe fantasizing. You know, many, this is a quite common now, and it is a sickness, that many men, they fantasize, and many women, they fantasize. And some, they complain about this. A man, he sleeps with his wife, but now he's fantasizing. He's imagining someone else. And the same thing, a woman, she is fantasizing. And she's imagining another man. Because that's how they get excited. So this is a sin, and this is a bad quality that a Muslimah should not have, any woman should not have, because no husband loves his wife to bring out these secrets. Not only this, if a woman is divorcee, she was married before and now she got married to another man, she should not mention what she used to do to the previous man. That is a past. And she should not imagine what she used to do with her previous husband, ex-husband. It's a sin. That's why the scholars, they gave the fatwa, it is haram to make a movie for husband and wife. They put the camera on and they make a movie while they are making love to one another. So they have now videotape with them, husband and wife. So they play it and they see what they were doing. They say this is not permissible. Muslim scholar, they give the fatwa that is not okay that a husband and wife, they make a movie of themselves when they are making love. Though it is a husband and wife and making love to one another is halal, but making a movie is not alright. Simply, they said, because maybe this movie tape might land in the hand of any of the children. A husband and wife, they have this tape in their bedroom and they put it and play it when they want to see, and they get excited when they see themselves making love to one another and they see the movie. But maybe the mother or the her father, or they forgot this tape outside, and the children, they came and they put this, they played the tape, and now they are seeing their father and their mother in such nude position making love to one another. Or maybe this tape, and it happened, maybe this tape, a thief jumped into the house and he took this tape, and it happened. And it came in the news about Miss Lebanon, her boyfriend, they made love to one another, and there was a tape, made tape, and this tape landed in the hand of someone, and everyone knew about it. So that's why this tape might land, either someone might steal it, or a friend of yours might take it, or let's say that it is protected, it is locked, everything. It is under lock, etc. The scholars, they also discussed that maybe now that the husband divorced this woman, after divorcing her, how can he watch that tape? Now it is haram for him to watch it, because she is not his wife anymore. Are you following me, brothers and sisters? So all that is not allowed in Islam. A woman who was married before, she should not mention what the previous husband used to do. Or imagine, maybe the previous husband was very good in bed, and the second husband is not that experienced. She should now just live with this one and forget what that previous husband used to do. Otherwise, he is destroying her life. And even if her husband, the new husband, has asked her, who's better, I or the... She should keep quiet and say, this is haram, you should not ask me such question. Point number 44. A husband doesn't like his wife to hurt his feelings. So a woman should not hurt her husband's feelings. She has to be very sensitive and considerate. That's why if she, for instance, if she mentions something about her ex-husband, that you will hurt the feeling of the new husband. So always try to avoid hurting the feelings of your husband. Always think about the feelings of your husband. And subhanAllah, take this example from that in Nataqain. That in Nataqain, Asma bint Abi Bakr. Asma bint Abu Bakr was the wife of Zubair ibn al-Awwam. And you know, Zubair has a farm little bit far from Medina. So his wife, Asma, would go to the farm and bring the date, dry date. And even up to today, women in some Muslim countries, they work in the farms helping their husbands. So, and she was carrying on top of her head big basket full of dry date. Very big one, heavy. And she was moving all this distance, carrying the basket full of dry date on her head. So the Prophet ﷺ passed by and he was riding, so he felt pity for her. So he made his camels to sit down, and he told her, you can ride the camel instead of walking carrying the date. And she carried on and she didn't say anything. She didn't reply. So the Prophet ﷺ, he knew that he doesn't want, and she felt shy. So he left her. The Prophet ﷺ, he felt pity for her. And you know what Asma said? She said, what I thought of when the Prophet ﷺ offered me that I ride his camel, the jealousy of my husband, that my husband might feel jealous, though the one who offered that is the Prophet ﷺ. She was thinking about the jealousy of her husband, Asma, and she told her husband what happened. He told her, by Allah, what you did, that what I like. I love it, that you didn't ride and accept the offer. So we want the Muslim sisters to think like Asma. To think like Asma, that my husband is going to get jealous about it. Not that, who's on the line? My friend. A man. My friend. What? You talk to men? What's wrong with it? He's only my friend. Or my colleague at work. I hope the picture is clear. A woman should not talk to a man. There is no need. Always think about the feelings of your husband. Any husband will feel jealous if his wife is talking to a man. So a woman who loves her husband would always think about her husband and try to avoid anything that might hurt his feelings. Because she loves her husband too much. So she will not hurt his feelings. And if she hurt his feelings unknowingly, she comes and apologizes. Say, I'm sorry, I didn't mean it. Point number 45. A husband loves his wife to play with him and entertain him, as the Prophet ﷺ told Jabir radiallahu anhu, when he got married, he married a woman who was a divorcee. So he said to him, هَلَّ جَارِيَةً تُلَاعِبْهَا وَتُلَاعِبْكَ. Why didn't you marry a young girl with whom you can play? So here, a husband, he loves his wife to play with him, either a game, they can play games, and we'll discuss that later, because I have in mind another topic to address, and there I will mention this types of games that a husband and wife might play in the bedroom. So, a husband loves his wife to play with him and entertain him. Entertain him, for instance, he loves his wife to be a humorous type, inshallah. Humorous type, that she is having a sense of humor. Or he loves her when she sings. She has a nice voice, so he says, okay, sing for me. I want to hear your voice. So a woman can sing for her husband, or dance for her husband. It's fun. Halal fun. A husband and wife can have. Or they are just playing games, any games, these games that train or the mind, etc. So they are as a friend. A husband and wife, also they are friends at the same time. So they can talk and chat and play with one another. So that is permissible. So here the Prophet ﷺ, he said to Jabir ibn Abdullah, radiallahu anhu, why didn't you marry a young girl with whom you can play, entertain one another? So a husband and wife, they need to entertain one another, to have a sense of humor, to have friendly atmosphere, an atmosphere that is filled with love, with affection, etc. Not always they are serious. And you know, sometimes the relationship with a husband and wife is actually just physical relationship. That means they know one another only in bed when they are fulfilling their biological needs. That's it. Nothing more than that. They don't talk to one another. They don't have fun. They don't talk friendly, open their hearts for one another. Some families are like that. And maybe this is sometimes due to the wrong upbringing. And they think this is okay. It is respect. To the extent that a woman cannot express her feelings even in bed. Even in the bed, she cannot tell her husband, I want to feel like this, touch me here, this is what I need. This, because to talk like that, it is something taboo. She should not discuss such things to her husband or talk to him. This is wrong upbringing. And it has nothing to do with Islam. The quality 46th, a Muslim husband, he loves that, or actually, the couple, when they finish making love, they can take a shower together. And this brings more affection between them. As you know, if there are kids around, remove them. We know from the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam that he used to bathe with Aisha radiallahu anha together, because as it is known to everyone that there is no awra between a husband and wife. So when they finish making love, they can take a shower together, because this also contributes to the increase of the affection and the emotional attachment or the cordial attachment between the two partners. And as you know, the ahadiths that mention or that say that a husband cannot see the private parts of his wife, or a wife cannot see the private parts of her husband, all these ahadith are weak and they are defective. For instance, one of these ahadith says, if a husband looks at the private part of his wife, he will get blind. So this hadith is not authentic. Another hadith, supposedly, that Aisha said, I have never seen the private parts of the Prophet, nor did the Prophet see my private parts. And also that hadith is not authentic. But the authentic hadith that both of them, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and Aisha radiallahu anha, both of them took a shower together, to the extent that they were saying to one another, Aisha would say, leave some water for me, and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam would say, leave some for me, and both of them are naked and bathing together. So this point, that a husband, he loves his partner or his wife to bathe with him or to take a shower with him together. You will not believe this, but it is a fact that in some Muslim countries, due to the wrong upbringing of the couples, when they make love to one another, they have to do it in the dark and they have to switch off the lights. Or they have to do it under the canopy. This has nothing to do with Islam. 47th point or quality that a husband loves also his wife to have. This, the previous quality, that she should not say no to him whenever he asks her anything to do, as long as he doesn't ask her to do something haram. A Muslim wife, she should not refuse what her husband asks her to do. 47th quality, she should not spend off his money without his permission. This point might seem a little bit contradictory to what we know, that a woman can give out of her husband's money, sadaqah or charity, based on the hadith of the Prophet ﷺ, and she will get as well the reward and her husband as well. So there is no contradiction actually. What is meant here, that she should not spend a lot, or she should not be a wasteful wife or extravagant. This is the meaning in this here. If she wants to take out of her husband's money and to give to a poor guy or fellow or miskin, she has to take something reasonable and not to take a lot. And also it is recommended and preferable to take a general permission of her husband, to ask him, "My dear husband, if someone comes, miskin, a poor fellow, and he wants us to help him, can I give something in your absence to this miskin?" If the husband says yes, that is enough. Not for every time she has to ask him permission. 48, a husband would like his wife, if she sees a bad quality in him, she should also try to help him to improve it. And also, when a husband hates a quality in her, in his wife, he has to be patient and should consider the other good qualities which she had. So this is something mutual and reciprocal. Whenever he sees something good, bad in her, or bad quality, which he doesn't like, that bad quality should not put him off and should not make him feel and change the overall outlook. That's why in the hadith, it says that if he hates one quality, then he would remember other good ones. And this is what you should always look to it. You should always be thinking positively. If your wife, she has one bad point, or some aspects in her character are not good and you don't like them, you should not then consider the whole picture black. Yes, these black spots, try to improve her character. And also the same thing, a woman, when she sees bad things or good or black spots or bad qualities in the character of her husband, she should also try to remember the other good things he has and try to improve him. So it is here the process is mutual, that you try to make me excel in to have a good character, and also a husband should try to make his wife also try to enhance and to perfect her character. So always if you see something bad in your husband, also always remember the other things, that the good qualities. I'm sure that your husband has many good qualities which will cover up for the drawbacks he has. Not always think about the bad part or the bad side. Don't be a pessimist. Don't say the cup is half empty, but say the cup is half full. If we always say the cup is half full, that means we always think positive. Though if you say the cup is half empty, you are saying the truth. But that is also, you are looking from a negative angle. And even the psychologist or psychiatrist, they would always tell us that you should not say, it is not good to make that is your attitude in life. The cup is half empty. It's the other way around. The cup is half full. That means you try to look to the positive part and try to maximize the goodness. Point 49, or the 49th quality, that a Muslim husband, and every husband loves his wife to protect her awrah. And awrah means nakedness, except for her husband. So she should always look presentable, modest, and chaste. So a Muslim woman should not display her beauty, should not, of course, the entire body of a Muslim, of a woman is awra, the entire body, except her face and her hands, area of dispute, even the face and the hands between Muslim scholars. Some they are saying even the face has to be covered, and she should wear niqab or burda. Others they are saying it is recommended to cover the face as well, but it's not a must, and it is an area of dispute or disagreement between Muslim scholars. But apart from the face and the hands, unanimously, Muslim scholars have agreed unanimously that a woman should cover from head to toes. From head to toe, she has to be covered. When we see today women, the way they dress, and unfortunately some Muslim women, the way they dress, it's against Islam. It's actually astonishing and surprising that you find a Muslimah, she dresses like a non-Muslim woman. See, Muslim girls are showing their navels because this is the fashion. And you see a mother walking along with her daughter, and the mother is wearing and dressing modestly and chastely and decently, and the daughter next to her is wearing a jeans and a shirt, and her navel is shown. They would tell you this is now the new generations that are completely different from us, and this is the fashion, and we can't do anything about it. So Muslimah is completely, it is a awra. So she has to be covered completely. She only showed her awra and remove her clothes to her husband. Point number 50, a husband would like his wife to know his favorite dish and prepare it for him. So in other words, every woman should know her husband's favorite dish, favorite food, what he loves and what he likes, and prepare it for him. And I mentioned this many times to you, brothers and sisters, and here I am addressing the sisters and telling them, if you want to be always dominating the heart of your husband, you should know how to cook very well. You should know cookery. You should have your own library. How many sisters here, they have libraries on cookeries and different cuisines of the world? And by the way, we will help you, inshallah, to give you also recipes. Okay? If you want recipes, we'll help you as well. So, you should learn how to cook. The Muslim sites on the internet, they should have portion for the family and some things related to cookery and cooking. Because if a woman knows how to cook, the Arabs, they say, المفتاح إلى قلب الرجل معدته. The key to the heart of the man is his stomach. If you know how to cook, your husband will love you tremendously. He knows his wife is professional chef. So when he brings guests, and the guests are leaving after the meal, and everyone is saying, thank your wife for me. The meal was fantastic, marvelous, excellent. I've never tasted food like that. So the head of your husband is growing big and big, bigger and bigger. He feels happy that the people like the food. And he comes and he hugs you. And he comes and says, thank you very much. The Arabs, they say, بَيَّطْتُ الْوَجْهِ, you whitened my face. You whitened my face. That means you gave me a credit of being praised today. I'm proud of you. So that's why, mothers, I'm asking the sisters, those who are already mothers and those who will be mothers, inshallah. Take your daughters to the kitchen. A woman who's not graduated from the kitchen, she is not a woman. Before you graduate from the university and get your degree, you have to graduate from the kitchen. And you have to get your degree. Because you are a woman, and at the end of the day, you will enter the kitchen one day. And if a woman does not know, believe me, I'm not exaggerating. Some women, those who are being pampered and brought up in luxurious and aristocratic families, they don't know how to make a scrambled egg or an omelette. She doesn't know. If her family became bankrupt overnight and she married a poor fellow, she doesn't know what to do. Some wives, when they want their guests, they just order or they call the restaurants. So train your daughters to enter the kitchen. And always remember the story of Ibrahim alayhi salam. Ibrahim alayhi salam, who had guests, the guests came to him, and he disappeared off the scene for a while. He went inside, informed his wife that I have guests. Of course, he thought they were humans, because the angels, they came in the human form. And later on, he came carrying a big, massive blade, and on it is a roasted calf. Roasted calf on this massive and big blade. And he put it in front of the guests. So who cooked that calf? What, not cooked in the Sheraton or Intercontinental. It was cooked by his wife alone. A calf, roasted calf, by a single woman. So if your husband, for instance, brings a small sheep, slaughtered, and he gives it to you and says, cook it, because in 3 hours' time we are going to have guests. Say, what? I don't know. I can't do it. I don't know. You should know. You should know how to cook. This is very essential. This is very important. So if you know how to cook, then your husband will be very happy. And the Arabs have this saying, and this is, I think it is everywhere, not only here. When a man gets married, and then you see him, few months later, he put on weight, so mashallah, she takes care of him. Your wife knows how to cook, that's why you put on weight. That's why you put on weight, because she is feeding you, every day is a new dish and different cuisines. So you are putting and you are gaining weight. And one of the wives of the Prophet ﷺ was very good at cooking. I think Safiya. One day, the Prophet ﷺ was with Aisha, so on Aisha's day. And the companions of the Prophet ﷺ, they know that today is Aisha's day. And they know that the Prophet ﷺ loves Aisha too much. So if they want to give a gift to the Prophet ﷺ, they would wait until it is the day of Aisha. It was known. So the day of Aisha is the day of gifts. So everyone would give the gift to the Prophet ﷺ on Aisha's day. So Safiya radiallahu anha decided to send a dish for the Prophet ﷺ. And she sent it with the servant. Aisha, she knows Safiya cooks very well. So she got very jealous. So Aisha radiallahu anha, what she did, she felt very jealous and she hit the plate, and the plate fell on the floor and the food dropped on the floor. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and because she took a stone, a small rock in her hand, and hit the plate and broke the plate, and the food fell on the floor, and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam picked the food and put it on another plate and gave it to the Sahaba, and he said, "Kulu gharat ummukum," eat, your mother felt jealous. So the co-wives, they feel jealous if one of them knows how to cook better than the other. So you should know how to cook. So if your husband marries another one who doesn't cook, he will still miss your cooking, and he will come running to you. Okay, because the other one, she is most of the time all in front of the mirror, busy with her mascara and with her makeup, etc.